The Holy Spirit comes and he teaches. I should do it in the right order. He convicts, teaches, and comforts. That's the three main things he does. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and convict you and then comfort you when you obey. If you don't obey, he'll torment you with conviction. You can't rest. You can't sleep. You're miserable. You have conviction. And this is the fruit you're born of God. So it's a good test for all these people that just write off these sins. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're doing it our way. We'll keep going. It's not just Christmas and Easter. We'll keep going. The whole idea of Sunday as the Lord's Day and the gathering on Sunday. It's not the Lord's Day. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere, Jeremy, that Sunday's the Lord's Day. Nowhere. It's a Roman Catholic convention. You can, now, I want to be clear. You can gather any day of the week and come and worship God. You worship God with your everyday life lived. That's another problem. We'll get to the worship service. You can gather with other saints any day of the week. That's not a problem. But to call Sunday the Lord's Day, which most Anabaptists do, that's a lie. It's not the Lord's Day. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that, anywhere. I have articles on all of this stuff at my teaching blog, by the way. All of this. The Lord's Day is actually the day of the Lord when he comes back in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know the gospel and don't obey it, or don't know God and don't obey the gospel. So Sunday's not the Lord's Day. There's another lie. Gathering in ritual buildings, calling it the church, that's not the church. Doing timed out services led by men, not the Holy Spirit, that's not the gathering of the saints. Only a few ministers doing all the teaching, not all men using their gifts. That's not God ordained. The whole system that the Anabaptists, we're focusing on them, practice, is handed down from the Roman Catholics and the evangelicals, and it's false. They went back to the building. Did you know God did away with the building, Jeremy? The temple no longer exists. Who's the temple today, Jeremy?
Each one of us.
Yep.
But it's supposed to be the temple, but yep. I guess according to you, Mennonites, though, are excluded.
Mennonites are like what?
Are excluded.
Well, when I say Mennonites are excluded, if I'm preaching at a Mennonite church, if you don't have that biblical gospel and the fruit of it, born again, following the truth, you will be excluded from the kingdom of God. And you know what's amazing is they say, well, that's a judgment and a condemnation. Did you know the Bible tells us to judge the body of Christ? Did you know that?
Yes.
All
yes,
over. All over. Yes. 1 Corinthians 5, Paul puts a man out for sexual sin. Matthew 18, Jesus says, if your brother's in sin, go to him. If he won't repent, take more. Take him to the whole body. Throw him out if he won't repent. 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul says, don't even eat with a brother who's in sin, that he may be ashamed. Okay? 1 Timothy 5, Paul says, publicly rebuke those in sin, so others will see and fear. So when we show up at churches, and we preach in the street to the world too, we don't just go to churches outside. They're always saying, don't judge us, don't judge us. The Bible says to judge, Jeremy. The Bible says you're supposed to judge everything I say and teach to the Word of God. But why do the Anabaptists all say don't judge?
Yeah, that's a verse taken out of context. We are to judge, but we are then to, we will be judged by the same judgment that we cast as well. So that is a responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, take the plank and the beam. We all know that.
Yep. And what they do is they love to hide in their sin. Oh, don't come here judging us until their favorite pet doctrine of pre-conversion divorce and remarriage comes up. And oh, they love to jump on that and start judging. But yet you're not supposed to judge their sin, but they can judge people's pre-conversion sin. It's just so interesting to me. Jesus hated hypocrisy and partiality like that. And that's what the Anabaptists do. They have some pet doctrines. Divorce and remarriage is one. Non-resistance is one. And you know what's amazing? Non-resistance is one of their pet doctrines. You know about Pinecraft, right? Have you been to Pinecraft?
I have.
Okay, I preach there. Have you seen any of the videos?
I've seen your videos,
okay.
Yes.
Would you believe so far, every single time I've preached at Pinecraft, the police show up because they call the police on me? Did we look like violent terrorists to you, Jeremy, that day?
No, of course not.
They call the police on us. The last time the police didn't show up, I don't think it isn't because they didn't call. The police know me in this town. I've witnessed to them all. I get along great with them. And they go, is that tunic guy preaching? Yep. What do you want us to do? He's legal and he's peaceful. We're not coming out again. It's probably what they told them. Non-resistant people call the police on peaceful people with Bibles preaching Jesus. These people are such rank hypocrites. And 2 years ago, one of the guys that lives in Pinecraft, a guy in an electric wheelchair, comes up to me and he goes, I want you to leave. And I said, sir, I'm not leaving. I'm here preaching. He goes, you're making me mad. And I said, sir, you can just keep going. You can just ignore me. I'll punch you right in the face, he said. And he drove by in his cart. My wife heard him. I actually have it on video. Non-resistant people are going to punch the preacher in the face. And he's an Anabaptist, by the way. He lives in that community. Hypocrisy. So if you want to keep going, I can show you more sins. I mean, they're worldly. An idol. Pinecraft. Jesus said in Mark 16, go preach the gospel. Matthew 28, 20, make disciples, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. What do the Anabaptists at Pinecraft do, Jeremy?
They're on vacation playing, looks like, I think there's like shuffleboard and some other stuff going on there. I don't know what all.
Bocce ball. Yep, bocce ball, shuffleboard, volleyball for the carnal young people, basketball. And
okay, so that's one question I did want to ask you about. I've heard what you've said about as idleness and stuff. So are you on the saying that there's never a time to ever enjoy what you call carnal, but enjoy games such as shuffleboard and bocce ball and anything in general, basketball, golf, sports? Are you saying that there is never a time that should ever be played by people of God?
Yeah. So here's what we do. We always go to God's word. What I think, feel, and believe is meaningless because I'm going to be dead soon and my word dies. God's word's eternal. So let's go to the word of God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Have you heard that verse?
Yes.
Okay. So who are we supposed to imitate?
Christ.
Okay. And Paul. And we can assimilate, we can assume John the Baptist as well, a godly man. Jesus said he was the greatest man that ever lived to come out of a womb. Wow, what a nice credit from the Creator God. Could you ever imagine Jesus or Paul or John the Baptist taking idle vacation to ride three-wheeled bikes, eat ice cream, lay on the beach, and play shuffleboard? Could you ever imagine them doing that?
You know, I don't know what Jesus did before he was 30 when he began his ministry, but I am not going to say that he never took time to fellowship with other people in fun activities.
Really? So you're going to add to God's word and say you think he would play shuffleboard?
I'm not adding. Are you saying that he didn't, though? Because that would be something.
Scripture says the saints did five things. Ready? They worked and slept. That was God-ordained functions. That's a third of your life right there, or more. Sleeping is a third. Working could be another third. I'm an old man retired, but you young guys have to work. So that's like two-thirds of your life. Then they fellowshiped with other true believers. That's why we don't fellowship with Anabaptists. We don't consider them true believers. They studied the word. They preached the word. Go out and preach the gospel. And then they restored themselves in God's creation, when they were worn down. Jesus went away to pray. He didn't go to the Roman games. He didn't do recreation. So if you imitate what Paul and Jesus and John the Baptist and Paul and Peter did, they worked, they slept, they fellowshiped, they preached, they restored. The Bible says in Romans 12, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Bible says, redeem the time. How are you redeeming the time for the kingdom of God playing shuffleboard for a week? When your neighbors are dying and going to hell?
Yeah, I guess you can make the argument that everyone should always be about ministry and never ever take any time for anything like that. I mean, you could.
I have a question. What are we preparing for? What are we preparing for in this life, Jeremy?
We are serving God and preparing to be with him when we die.
You think there's going to be shuffleboard, volleyball, bocce ball, three-wheeled bikes, and ice cream sitting around in heaven?
I believe there could be.
You believe there could be?
I don't know.
Really? Have you read Revelation, what it's going to be all about? Worshiping God, serving God, holy, holy, holy. It's not a carnal flesh fest, Jeremy. You have the Anabaptists have a false Jesus and a false spirit and a false heaven. It's not going to be like that. See, this is the problem.
I'm not saying it is.
You just said I believe it could be. What are you basing that on?
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, We don't know exactly what
that's
all
dangerous. You're basing eternity on what you don't know versus what we do know, the Word of God. So that's a big problem. So they're idle. They're carnal. You show up there preaching, ask men to bring their Bibles. They ignore you while they play shuffleboard. They're dead in their sins, Jeremy. Like most of the people in that church that walk by Sunday. Dead. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Let the blind lead the blind in the ditch. We go for a sheep. You may be a sheep. I don't know. You're listening. That's what we go for. We don't go trying to convert them all. We're not going to. We're not trying to. We preach the truth. Those that have ears to hear and eyes to see will either come and talk, or they'll go get in the Bible and they'll study themselves, and they may be our brother and sister in heaven one day. But you got to turn from that carnal man-made way that's going to cost you your soul. Let's talk about how they don't even study the Word of God, their elders and their ministers. Did you know the Bible teaches us how to dress, Jeremy, if we're the temple of God? I got to cover this. You know the Bible teaches us exactly how to dress?
Exactly how?
Yeah.
You're saying?
Yeah, well.
Okay, how's that?
So let's start with women. Anabaptists mostly teach women should cover their heads, right?
Correct.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 11, we agree with that. 1 Corinthians 11 doesn't say a little white see-through cap on the back of your head. You know what 1 Corinthians 11 teaches? Have you studied it? Does your wife cover?
Yes.
She has a little bonnet on the back probably, right?
No, not a bonnet. It's,
what is it? Like a little cap?
Kind of, yeah, like a black, about size of two hands.
Yeah, okay. Go read 1 Corinthians 11. The Greek word is a veil. A woman's hair and head is to be covered with a veil. Not a little cap. So that's that part. We have teachings on all this on our teaching blog. So the Anabaptists have evolved and lost what a true head covering is. Look at all these crazy shapes they have of them. Some of them look like Mickey Mouse ears. Some of them are a little tiny, It's about the size of a, I don't know, size of a Coke can on the back of the woman's head, a little black thing. That's not a head covering. So, and then the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:9, and this is where, do you study like the, I don't know if you study God's word at all. Do you, when you read the word of God, do you look at the Greek and the Hebrew words?
I don't personally know. When I listen to other people present the Word of God, sometimes I listen to podcasts and stuff. They usually go into the Greek, but
you need to be learning how to study for your house, otherwise you're going to shipwreck your faith. If you study the Greek and Hebrew, and I could offer to you some good concordances that give good translations, don't read their commentaries because a lot of them are evangelical bent, but if you just look at the words, the Greek and Hebrew words, 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, women should dress in modest apparel. And I'm using King James here.
Yes.
Do you know what that means? I mean, you're a young man, but you know, I'm 60. In my lifetime, you think modesty's changed in my lifetime?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I mean, I can't believe these women walk around with yoga pants on. Next thing is just going to be spray paint your skin. That's it.
Oh. Yeah, they do that too.
Okay. So, modest apparel. What does that mean, Jeremy?
It means what it says it means.
So how do you know how to dress your wife and your daughters?
It's modestly, so what, as not.
What does
to
that mean?
I would say it's so not to draw lustful attention.
Yeah. See, that's just your man-made interpretation. That's wrong. It's not even close to the truth. Modesty is not even in the Bible. That's just a man-made English word. It says, dress in modest apparel. Modest in the Greek means neat and orderly. Okay, it has nothing to do with the modest standard, neat and orderly. So you don't want to look like a slob. You don't want to look like you're all out of order because God is a God of order. Amen?
Amen.
And we're his temple, are we not?
Correct.
If we're born of him, if you're a true saint born of him. I believe most Anabaptists do not have the fruit of being born of God. I want to say that. I'm not saying they're all not born of God. I'm saying most of them do not have the fruit of being born of God. So if you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you should dress neat and orderly. That word apparel in the Greek, it means ketestole. It's a long and flowing robe. It's what it says.
Okay, say that again. I missed that.
Apparel. Again, okay. This is on all, look up our, if you want to learn, look up our articles on the teaching blog. We have a title, Dress for Women, Dress for Men. It means a long and flowing robe. Apparel is a long and flowing robe. Not pants for women, not shorts, not halter tops, not tight clothing. It's a long robe. That's what people were wearing in biblical times. Guess what? That's what people wore all the way since creation, according to God. And I'll prove it to you. We'll keep going here. So a woman should wear a biblical head covering and a long, loose dress to cover her form. Not skin tight like the Mennonites wear. We saw women walking out of that church, worldly, carnal. Pride and vanity, showing their bodies off. Yeah. That, you know, why do you think a woman wears dresses to show her figure? And why do you think a woman would wear makeup and put earrings on? Why do you think a woman would do that?
To try to make themselves attractive.
Is that called pride?
Yeah, it could lead to pride, yes.
No, it is pride. It is pride. And Proverbs 6:17 says, God hates, it's an abomination to him to have a proud look. So if you cut your hair a certain way you think looks cool, you're an abomination to God. You're walking around pride. You wear jeans and you go, man, these make me look good. You're an abomination to God. If I put on something and I go, man, I want to look cool. And man, this kind of shows off my physique. I used to be a bodybuilder, Jeremy, when I was 18. Hey, this still shows off my old man physique. I'm an abomination to God. We're to be humbled. We're to be lowered, not lifting ourselves up. So Proverbs 6:17 is a huge one against the culture in general and Anabaptists and everyone else. So a woman, long and flowing dress that covers her form. We shouldn't be seeing women's busts and their waists and anything else. They should be loose. It's what God ordained. I'll take you way back to creation in a minute. And it should be unadorned. Go read 1 Peter 3. Why do women put on bright colors and flowers and all this stuff, Jeremy?
They're attractive looking.
They're trying to draw attention to themselves. That's more pride. You're adorned. We're to be unadorned. We don't dress the temple the way we want. We dress the temple the way God wants. Because did you know this? We're purchased by the blood of Christ. Did you know the Bible says we're not our own? Did you know that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Then why do people walk around dressing themselves the way they like and the way the culture likes instead of the way God ordained?
I guess you just don't see it quite the way that you do.
Well, you don't see scripture then. And here's a big problem. This is the point. This is the time to bring this up.
Okay.
In John 8, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees. Oh, they were a biblical people, but they were denying who he was. They were keeping the Torah law at the time, and Jesus was bringing spirit and truth. You know what he said to them? And I tell religious people this all the time. And boy, they want it. They don't like this, but it's true. I tell them you're a child of Satan, religious people that don't hear the word of God. And they go, what? Go read John 8. Jesus says to the Pharisees, if you were of God, you would hear my words. You would hear the word of God. You're not of God. You're of your father, Satan. If you're not born of God listening to the Bible, there's only one other alternative. You're of Satan and you're a child of Satan. There's only two alternatives. Kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan. You're born of God. You're still in Satan's kingdom. You're a child of Satan. So if people can't hear the word of God and go, man, that's right. We got to dress our temple biblical. The Holy Spirit discerns it for you and convicts you and you do it. You're not a child of God. You're actually a child of Satan in the dark. You're not a child of the light. It's a good test to see who people are. So we talked about women. Loose dress, right in the Bible, unadorned, head covering. How about men? Do you think the Bible teaches men how to dress?
I guess it would be the same standard, honestly. No, to draw attention.
No, actually.
Like a proud look, I guess.
Yep. What we got to do is go all the way back to Genesis 3:21. Do you have your Bible right there?
I don't. I'm in my vehicle at rental property, so I don't have.
Are you at Pinecraft today?
No, I'm in Maryland.
Oh, you're back in Maryland now. Okay. Let me read to you Genesis 3. And I'm gonna say something that's amazing. I'm about to teach you something that I don't know anybody teaches. Literally. If you can prove me wrong, I'd love to be proved wrong. I'd love to know, wow, there's other people that see this and actually teach it because it's right from God's word. I don't know anybody that does. And I'm not smart. I'm just following the word and the spirit. That's all I got. Genesis 3, right after Adam and Eve sin. And if you go down to verse 21. And I won't read the whole thing, but Adam and Eve sinned. They were convicted. They put on leaves, aprons of leaves. If you know what an apron is, let me ask you a question. If your wife had nothing on but an apron, do you think she's covered?
Not well.
No, not well. Adam and Eve put on little aprons. God, the creator, this is Jesus who did it. This is another thing I got to remind people. People make the separation of God, the creator, then Jesus came and walked the earth. It's the same God. God sent himself. Jesus, the creator of all things, John 1 says. Genesis 3:21. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This is in the beginning of time. This is before Torah law. This is not Torah law I'm teaching you. This is right after God ordains husband and wife marriage. You got one wife, I got one wife. This is after God ordains creation. This is after God ordains man take dominion. Right here. God takes an animal and makes them coats of skins. When you take a skin off an animal, what do you do to it, Jeremy?
You'd have to tan the hide, I guess.
You'd kill it. You'd shed its blood.
Oh, yeah, right.
Coats. That word coats in Hebrew is kutneth. It means a tunic. They had aprons on. I would say aprons are what people wear today in the culture mostly. God says, no, not good enough for my creation. I'm going to put you in something that covers you up, because now man knows sin. And when man knows sin and he sees a woman walking down the street that isn't his wife and she looks good, what could happen?
There could be lust.
Yep. God says, cover yourself up. Help that. Help your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Cover your body up. Way back in Genesis 3:21, it's an archetype of the shed blood of Jesus that covers us later. Do you see that?
I'm not sure. Sorry, I'm not sure I'm following.
Well, God kills an animal and sheds blood to cover humans with clothing.
Yes.
Isn't that an archetype of Jesus later shedding his blood to cover us?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
But it is. Oh, not guess. It is. It's the first shedding of blood because of man's sin.
Yeah.
And you look up what a tunic is. A tunic is a long, loose garment that covers up, and it goes way past your privates, your butt and your crotch. It goes, usually for men, it was to their knees. Women, it was longer. And
so,
Hold on. I did an audio, and I'll send it to you. I go through my audio, and I go from Genesis 3:21 all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, and I teach people, all the godly people wore what God put them in. Tunic, robes, vesture, garment, raiment, covered up their forms all the way through. It is recent that the Industrial Revolution came up and fashion came up and people started adorning themselves, and then bikinis came up more recent, and now nakedness came up. God says, cover his temple up. The Anabaptists don't teach that. The men don't cover their temples up. A lot of you young men walk around in skin-tight clothes, showing your bodies off. Did you know that your pants are really underwear? Per God?
I've never heard that before.
Yep. Well, here you go. God had a priesthood, and the priest would wear a tunic. Okay? And they had, apparently, when it all started, they had nothing under their tunics. They just had a tunic on. Well, when the priest would walk up the steps to the temple, could you imagine how ugly that could get? If the wind blew their tunic up, they'd be totally exposed, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it'd be bad.
It'd be bad. And a priest should never be naked. And a priest's thigh showing was nakedness, let alone his genitals. Okay? God put them in what's called breeches. Look it up. It's in the Old Testament. I got teachings on this. Breeches. Guess what breeches became later in the culture for men?
Pants.
Very good. Pants. So I wear, and my brothers wear, pants underneath as underwear with a tunic that goes over them. So if we're out preaching, and if the wind would ever blow up, we still at least have cloth covering our private parts, and we could pull our tunic back down and be covered. So pants are basically underwear to God. Men always wore like a double layer of clothing. That's how you stay really biblical. Because you see what happens. Men walk around in t-shirts, little athletic shorts. They're showing their bodies off, aren't they?
To some extent, I guess.
And did God ordain us to show our bodies off? Some extent? No, full extent they're showing off. Did God cover us or tell us just to do what we want?
Yeah, we're supposed to be dressed appropriately.
Right, right. So the Anabaptists don't do this for their men. They're closer with the women, but the young women, like you go to Pinecraft, oh my, they're jumping around on the volleyball court. They got skin-tight dresses on. They're all adorned up. This is not of God. This is not holy. Do you know what holy means?
Holy would be set apart for God.
Very good. That's not set apart for God. That's showing your temple off. That's tempting other men to look and lust, whether you're a man or a woman, causing the opposite sex to lust. Today, you got to watch out, causing the actual sex to lust with all the homosexuality going around. So I'm just giving you a bunch of points where these Anabaptists have not even studied the Word of God. They're following the culture. They're following man-made traditions. They're following pagan holidays. They're following idleness in their leisure time. How is that keeping the gospel that I just preached to you, Jeremy?
Yeah, according to what you're saying as the extreme, I guess that would not be, if that's all they're doing, that would not be appropriate.
Well, wait, extreme. Do you think God's word is extreme?
It is in some areas.
Yeah. I just quote you a bunch of scripture, took you right to the Bible. It's very extreme.
Yeah.
Ready? In the Old Testament, you had to take your child that was rebellious to the city gates, and guess what they did with them?
What's that?
They stoned him to death. And today, we don't stone people to death. You know what Jesus said you should feel about your wife and children versus him?
He says in comparison to the Lord, we're supposed to, what does it say, hate our...
Yep.
He does not hate his brother, mother, father.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. If you don't hate them, that means if you don't love them so much less than you love him, you're not worthy of him. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. And the problem with the Anabaptist faith, because we're talking about them, I keep saying it, is the Anabaptist faith is partial to themselves. They love the things of man and their traditions. They follow man-made Anabaptist traditions more than they follow the Word of God. It's true. And Paul said, keep the traditions I've handed down, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. You guys are all practicing Mennonite traditions, and I got to swing this around to you. If you think what they do is sin, the man's name and any of the stuff I'm telling you, and you unite to it still, you're in sin. You're united to sin. You will be judged and sent away from the kingdom of God. You can't unite to sin. The Bible says, come out from among her. 2 Corinthians 6. Touch not the unclean thing and I'll receive you. You're all walking in uncleanliness and unrighteousness and sin. And this is why Jesus said, if you really want to follow Christ, Jeremy, you're going to have to lose your entire life. Many men end up losing their career. Many men will lose their religious affiliation. They'll lose most of their friends and family. Some men end up losing their wives. It's exactly what Jesus said is the cost to come follow him. Then he said, blessed are you if you lose your mother, father, your lands, your wife, your children for my sake. But you'll be blessed over and over in this life and the life to come. Most people are in the Mennonite. When I say that, I mean they got a church, they got friends, a lot of them work in the Mennonite community. It's a net. Most of them won't leave it because it's pretty comfy. It's pretty safe in there. But stepping out and obeying Christ, oh, now you're out in the world. Now you're on your own. Well, you're not going to have many friends with you because not many people really obey God in its fullness. But what's your allegiance to? Man-made doctrines that damn your soul or Christ who is the resurrection and the life?
Yeah, you have that's a lot to think about.
That's just a few, Jeremy. I don't know if you want to keep going. But I'll tell you what. I will send you some links if you're interested. We have an Anabaptist Exposed tab. You want to know something that's interesting? Do you have your phone on you?
That's what I'm talking to you on.
Yeah, can you bring up Google?
I can.
I'm sorry, yeah, you're talking to me on the phone. I didn't know. Some people still use house phones. I don't know. Bring up Google. Let's do a little test to glorify God here. Put the words Anabaptist Exposed in Google and press. Tell me what comes up number one or two.
Uh, your don'tperish.com website comes up.
Praise God. Number one or number two, don'tperish.com comes up. And I'm boasting in Christ because we don't do anything. We don't pay anybody to market that. We don't have any IPOs or anything, whatever they call it. SEOs, what do you call it, sister? I'm an SEOs, all this stuff. We don't do any of that stuff. I don't even know how to say it. We just say, Lord, use us. Put it out there. And so the Anabaptists hate us because we expose them like we're supposed to the saving of people's souls. And did you know, Jeremy, what you walk by, I don't know what you think now, when you walk by and see us preaching out there, calling out the true gospel and calling people to repentance, did you know, according to the Bible, that's the most loving thing I can do to you?
Right, yeah, the most loving thing you can do is to share Christ to people who don't know and show them the truth.
Because what if they stay in their sin and they go to hell and I say nothing? Did I love them, Jeremy?
I guess not.
No. You don't have to guess. You can say no. You don't. I didn't love them. So that's why we do it. We don't make a penny off this stuff. I don't use these audios to like blackmail people and edit them to make me look good. These audios you'll see are going to go up to edify people, and people will go, wow, that's some interesting truth. I got to look into that. That's why we do it. And
yeah, I listened to a few of your audios. I guess the one you had a link in one of your emails.
Yeah. And you go to that tab you just brought up, and it'll take you to a whole plethora of Anabaptist articles, shamefulness about them, solid doctrine, the biblical gospel. And if they would just repent and change their ways, my wife and I, my brothers, would come and be their best workers. We're van dwellers. We're all van dwellers. We full-time van dwell. We sold everything we own. We're full-time van dwellers. We preach the gospel. We'll come camp in their parking lot if they let us, and we'll help them become a biblical body of Christ. I've been making that offer for years, Jeremy. Guess how many people have taken me up on that?
Probably not many.
None. None. Because you will not ever find in these last days a biblical, a church that wants to become fully biblical. There might be one or two people out of 10,000, maybe. Do you understand that, how few is? Jesus said few are going to find eternal life. That word few means puny. We'll go over it real quick. How many people got on the ark? Jesus was a prophet of the Old Testament, the greatest prophet. He knew the Old Testament. How many got on the ark?
Not many, like what, eight?
Eight, very good. Out of maybe a couple million, some people say 50 million were on earth. I don't know, we don't know the number. Out of millions, eight were saved. How about, how many came out of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Four?
Three, yeah, four came out, but Lot's wife did what?
Lot's wife made it halfway out.
She didn't make it. She turned back. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, don't look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. She wasn't fit. Out of tens of thousands of people, that would have been a major trading city, only three. Remember Abraham? Hey, Lord, what if there's 50? What if there's 40? What if there's 20 righteous? That there was only three that came out. Here's one for you. This one blows my mind. The Israelites come out of Egypt. They're wandering around in the desert because they're all full of sin and stubbornness. God, hating their sin, kills them all off and won't let them go in the Holy Land. The Bible gives us the exact number. Out of 600,000 men, do you know how many got to enter in the Holy Land because they obeyed God?
Are you saying, you mean from the original?
Yep, the ones that came out of Egypt.
Ones that came out of Egypt. I don't know the number.
Joshua and Caleb, two. Now, here's an interesting statistic. I just want to throw this at you. So if you use the same percentage that were in the desert stumbling around and two out of 600,000 made it, take America, 330 million people. That's like 1,400 people. I'm not telling you that's all that are going to be saved out of America. I didn't say that. I'm just giving you a comparison of how few is few. And how do you know who is really born of God? Jesus said we know a tree by its
fruits.
Yeah, look at the fruit of the Anabaptists and the evangelicals and the Roman Catholic. They're worldly, false traditions, heretical, prideful. That's their fruit. They're not following Christ and the Most High in his word and in his sound doctrine.